Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
He had a great summer. He looks good. Ton of work in the summer. And then as he was ramping up, kind of getting that closer to game mode, call it, and get closer to training camp, he just started having some pain. Without going to the weeds too much, he was just not able to, probably the right way to say it would be, to be strong and push and the stuff that he needs to do. So obviously did imaging and a lot of doctors involved, and the imaging's clean, which is the good news. So they're just trying to do some rehab and figure out exactly how to get him over the hump. So, you know, he's kind of in that day-to-day mode. It could be a little longer. We'll know probably more over the next few days exactly where he's at. But it's encouraging over, I'd say, the last, you know, 3 or 4 days.
First day of training camp for the Buffalo Sabres. The general manager, Kevin Adams, addressing number one, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and his recent tweak and how long, or not, he may be sidelined. 61 players at camp this year, so a tip of the cap to Maxi Finneganoff, Nikita Zadorov, Andre Benoit, and Riley Stillman as we celebrate 61 who are participating. Although, there's three that aren't of full health right now. Luukkonen, of course, Alex Tuch, who's in kind of a day-to-day window, and Jordan Greenway, who won't be ready for the start of the season.
Okay, so 58, let's just see. So I'm going to quick look here. Who are the three players that were the number 58? Duffer, if you were ever to get that, I think...
Did Shahura wear it?
You have one, Paul Shahura. So that's one of them, and there's two more, and we're looking at 2009 and 2020. And I don't know how you get, you may get one, but I don't know how you get both of them.
Well, I'm not going to belabor the point for the audience, so
Tim Kennedy in 2009.
Yeah. Well,
so it must
that should have been obvious. Oh.
John Gilmore.
Oh, so I have a John Gilmore story. So I actually
was going to say, I don't even know, like, so John Gilmore, I don't recall John Gilmore
he was,
much.
Did he get in any games with the Sabres?
He got four games and played an average of 17 minutes per game in what was the COVID shortened season, the 19-20 season. That
right,
ended short.
But he was nowhere near COVID. He was early in the year. COVID came way later. It was not connected in any way to John Gilmore, who I had. He had a good camp. I was a really good skater. You know, obviously there wasn't any expectation he was going to make the team, but my interaction with him was amazing because I was in the dressing room one day, just kind of quietly minding my own business. And he's a pretty quiet guy too. And he goes, "Did you used to work at NHL Network?"
Oh my gosh.
And he might be the last one that could have remembered, you know, because that was like 7-8 years on from it. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to run into too many people that are young in an NHL room that are going to be able to remember that. So it was,
yeah, he was probably was like, he's 32 now. So we're talking 5 years ago, he's 27 or so. Like, I'm not saying an older guy, but maybe he remembers the old version of NHL Network and had seen you on there. So that's awesome.
All right. But so numerical trivia.
Here's trivia, 61 to 58. Like that's a big number.
And then they got to get it down to 23. So yes. Everything you learned today, what do you think it's going to look like on opening night?
Okay, well, I think that the biggest news, like the first thing when Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff talked to the media today, that was going to be on the agenda was going to be Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, right? Mm-hmm. So what have I learned about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and his opening night availability? Nothing. Nothing, because I don't think anybody knows, right? They're saying, well, he's day-to-day. But it could be a little longer. We don't know yet, right? So it is lower body, and it is something that he feels when he's pushing, as Kevin Adams said. Like when he's trying to push, he feels a limitation, right? A tweak of some sort. But everything else, in the gym, walking around, doing everyday stuff, there's no problem. So this is a very specific type of situation when you're, you know, players that, like skaters, for example, sometimes they can skate around, they can do everything, and then all of a sudden they go for a burst of speed and they're like, can't go there, right? And then it's like about managing it, about trying to strengthen the area, trying to take that restriction slowly but surely away. And when you're a goaltender, you can go through a full practice and being fine in all the movements that you're doing, and then the one movement is like, oh, I can't do that. So do you want to push it in games or not? No, you have to wait until you're ready. But I don't think anybody really knows if this is going to... I think what they're probably going to do is, you know, kind of try some treatments, some things this week, see where he is after the weekend, and then decide what is the best course of action. So they don't know. So that's the number one question, Duffer. I'm like, okay, so I still don't know who's starting on opening night.
Okay, well, let's just... There's no... Like, I'm not trying to draw a comparison because we don't have clarity on exactly what's bothering him. Yeah. But you played the position. Did you ever experience a time where you had something that was relatively small in nature, imaging didn't show anything, but that you had to either A, not play through, or B, found a way to have to play through with maybe a sense of relief in the back of your mind that eventually you get to a point where you know it's not going to get worse?
Yeah, so I think goalies that are extremely flexible deal with that a lot more than goalies that were absolutely as stiff like I was. Like my body had such limitations that it wasn't able to get past sometimes to pull a muscle or to kind of aggravate something. But like Mikko Noronen, I remember Noronen was extremely flexible. Well, yeah, sometimes the hips or the knees or the groin are being stretched to a place where the body has no limitation. So I think we're seeing that more and more with today's goaltending, where everybody is extremely flexible, that they have some tweaks here and there. But I do recall a time in Philly, about halfway into my second season, I think, my hip was bothering me in a game. I played the game after the game. I laid on the table. The doctor looked at me. He's doing things. He goes, come to my office tomorrow. Probably going to have to be surgery. Your season's probably over. And I'm like freaking out. Like, I'm like, what? Like, what? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I felt okay. Like, I'm like, yeah. So my trainer's like, you know what? How about we do this? How about you come in tomorrow and we go through some treatments and we see where you are at and we'll kind of adjust. Mm-hmm. And he goes, there's many different things in between now and surgery. It could be some injections. There could be some acupuncture. There could be some treatments, whatever. Like, we'll figure it out. I was almost in tears. I was like, I've never gotten hurt in my career. And now this guy's telling me I need hip surgery. Yeah. And I'm out 6 to 9 months. Like, come on. Right? And sure enough, the next day, treatment, day off. The next day, went on the ice on my own just to like feel it It was feeling good, but I didn't push, right? I didn't push it. And 3 days later, I was at a place where I was probably 90%, 95%. My body knew its limitation, but I was fine. But Duffer, can you imagine like your first impression, your doctor's telling you after you felt a tweak, your season's over, you're going to have surgery. And a hip surgery is not an easy surgery. So I was completely freaked out.
Have you had it since?
No.
No?
No. Never had any problems, ever. The only injury I suffered while playing was a broken collarbone.
Right.
And this is like basically, okay, we know that the collarbone will be probably healed in 10 to 12 weeks and, you know, may stretch out to 15 weeks, but that's what it is. And I didn't need surgery. But again, like with Luukkonen, that's why it feels like it's a soft tissue, right? Because when they talk about tweaks and stuff like that, this is not bone. Like, he didn't all of a sudden suffer a broken bone that, no, you would know. Imaging would tell you, you would know. So this is soft tissue, and they'll kind of manage it. But I'll be interested to see, like, middle of next week where we are. I think we'll get a better answer middle of next week when it comes to Luukkonen.
A week from today is the middle of next week, and we'll be two games into the preseason at that point, having started on Monday in Columbus and returning home to KeyBank Center the following night on the Tuesday. And I do want you to answer the question, and we can collectively do that. What's the 23-man roster going to look like on opening night? But based on the Luukkonen topic being the first question, what did you also glean slash interpret out of the mouths of Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff as it pertains to the goaltending with an unknown right now in Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen?
All right, yeah, I keep pucks out of your net. They talked about defensive play, but
please don't say that. Those are things I know. They don't.
But I did some numbers yesterday, Duffer. So in the standings, because we know the standings and the actual goals against don't mirror each other because they'll give you goals against when you lose in a shootout. But let's just look at the standings. The Sabres gave up 289 goals in the standings last year, right? The Montreal Canadiens made the playoffs with 265. So there was, you know, 20 less goals. That was still a lot of goals.
That's 21 goal wins in some cases.
It could be. It could be like one goal wins. And Lindy Ruff said 78% of the games and in one goal or two goals with an empty net, right? Mm-hmm. So 20 goals can make a big difference in that. But not only that, the next team that made the playoffs had given up 236. Mm-hmm. That is 50 goals less, right? Seven of the eight teams in the East that made the playoffs gave up 50 or more goals less than the Sabres. That's more than a half a goal a game. Mm-hmm. Like, your number was way too high, and thinking to get to 230, that's a big undertaking, but maybe you can get to 255 or 260 and still make it like the Canadians did at 265 last year. So that was the thing. That was
the goal, not to dumb it down, but like the goal has to be 240 for just about any team so that you're right around the three goals against. Like, I think that's still like a fair barometer in a league where we're starting to see the numbers inch up a little bit, you know, compared to the 920 save percentages and 2.05 goals against. Like,
Calgary had 238 last year. They didn't make it, but they were
couldn't score. But
251 was the next closest, and they didn't make it either.
They were going to be historic in their limited ability to score had they made the playoffs. So, yeah.
And that's why, like, I don't think, like, Kevin Adams talked about replacing the Peturka goals. He's like, it's not about that. We have enough offense. It's
you
about
haven't answered the goalie question.
So let's the goalie question was what, like, again? Because I went into a tangent.
What did you learn about what we're likely to see in the goaltending? Who's ahead of who? How do you see it playing out if Luukkonen's out for any time here?
Well, I feel like the one guy that they talked most about was Georgiev, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's the newcomer.
Exactly.
And can I say maybe this was a good thing that Luukkonen tweaked a little bit? Because the more and more I think about it, the more and more you are always an injury away from being in a bad spot, right? But if Luukkonen is hurt and you had Lyon and Levi, I'm not as confident as I would be if it is Luukkonen and Levi, hoping that Luukkonen gets back. But I still have my doubt with Luukkonen. So now I'm like, okay, what if this doesn't work out by middle of October? Mm-hmm. I think adding Georgiev was maybe a bit of a blessing for the depth. knowing that there's always injuries that, you know, we've seen, you know, guys in all organizations having to go down to the number three, the number four, the number five to play games, right?
Right.
So that happens all the time with everybody.
I don't think that I would agree with you in the sense of, you know, they could get to a real tough spot real quickly, because I think there are a whole bunch of goalies like him, let's say Georgiev, around the league. We just talked about Fedotov, right? Like, if you get in an injury crunch, okay, throw a sixth round pick to Columbus, rescue him out of Cleveland, and
there will be waivers too at the end of camp.
What's that?
There will be waivers too at the end of camp.
Well, this is the point: is they had Reimer last year, lost him, and then felt obligated to bring him back, and he was available. Like, so I don't think it's ever as dire. Obviously, it's not how you map it out, but I think those types of players exist in other, like, oh my goodness. Like, let me rant about Ville Husso getting a 2-year deal in Anaheim for no reason other than to soak up life in San Diego. Like, he's going to be available if somebody needs him.
Yeah. And there will be tons of news. Like, as producer Jeff just puts in our chat, that Mackenzie Blackwood has a lower body week to week, expected to be ready around the beginning of the season. I mean, that's now, what is Colorado going to do? Like, are they going to just
go get Connor Ingram?
Maybe, but Connor Ingram is not going to be at Utah Mammoth Camp because they want to find him a new place to be. Also, Utah has been rumored to be in the Carter Hart. Maybe, you know,
even contract though they signing added or whatever. Vanacek in the offseason to back up their number one.
Vimelka. Exactly. So there, you're right that there is always a flood of goaltenders that go through waivers that could be available. Teams are like, what do we do with our third goalie? We'll take a six-round pick. And yeah,
you telling me you couldn't get Nico Daws out of there in a pinch if you had to?
They got Markstrom and Allen, and they got him for now.
They're not going to ask for a first-round pick for Nico Daws in a pinch, you know? So,
no, but is Nico Daws a better goaltender than Georgiev? And now do you start measuring, like, who do you like?
I don't even measure them, because Georgiev had such a tough year last year, and you were willing to bring him in based off a tough year. I think critical evaluation, which is what the hockey department is constantly doing, is going to have members of that department believe in certain guys that other teams haven't believed in. That's the whole carousel of 800 players a year finding their way into an end.
And you have a list of young prospect, mid-20s guys, you know, late guys, that older guys that you can always look for. Montreal signed Kaapo Kähkönen.
And he looked like he would never get back to the NHL.
Yeah, exactly. So you're right that I think that was, I'm not going to say that was a little premature. I think that Kevin Adams and the Sabres wanted to say, we are taking care of this before training camp starts. We want to give everybody a chance to have time to prepare and be with the group and play preseason games. And that's why they did the Georgiev now instead of waiting later. And Lindy Ruff mentioned, you know, and Kevin Adams did as well, there's going to be a hard camp, not a punishment, but we need to raise the level. And the guys that are here need to be here and be part of it so you can start the season the right way. I think that's the reason why they did Georgiev then as opposed to wait. They wanted him here to be part of camp right away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't disagree with the idea and the reasoning behind bringing him in. My only point was, don't ever think it's as bad as, you know, an injury situation. I get it. Nobody wants to go through it.
But the Flyers did Michael Layton and Brian Boucher, right, in a year where they had lost Ray Emery and lost basically all their goalies.
Look at what we've seen with Carolina the last couple of years.
I know.
Spencer Martin had to play. Dustin Tokarski had to play. You know, number one guy has often been hurt there, and Freddie Anderson. You know, you go to Kochetkov, but they have this long list seemingly of guys that they've been able to draw upon. Now Caden Primo is in their system, right? Again, same type of thing. He has NHL games. But anyway, belaboring the point.
Well, it's the
rest
fact
of the roster
is not so much belaboring the point is that that's the focus. The focus was, can Luukkonen get back to where he was second half of 2 years ago, mm-hmm. where he was in the best metrics of all goaltenders in the National Hockey League? Mm-hmm. And can the Sabres keep the puck out of their net, either by adding Kesselring or signing Bo Byram or strengthening the defense or changing their approach or just getting better goaltending? Mm-hmm. And now that's the focal point of this whole training camp going. But again, training camp is training camp. Do it in the regular season.
Do you think that once we get through training camp and the 6 preseason games, you're going to feel like there is clarity and certainty among the 6 defensemen who will be starting opening night? Or do you suspect that it's going to be a constant mix and match?
I think we're going to have more clarity and certainty, maybe more when it comes to the top 4. I everything that they've talked about today was finding a right shot D partner for Owen Power. And now they did open the door by saying, well, it also can mix and match, right? Depends on the situation. Are you ahead? Are you behind? What do you do? But for me, the right now on Wednesday, the 17th, is Dahlin, Byram, and Power and Kesselring. It seems to be trending that way. But, you know, we could see some changes. But I feel that at the end of training camp, that will be solidified for like, hey, this is how we're going to start the season. Play the Rangers. That's our top 4. It's not going to be like, oh, Duffer, I don't know. I don't know if Kesselring and Power had it in preseason. And I don't know what you do now if you have to maybe, you know, change and put Power with Dahlin. Like, I feel that this is going to be the top 4 and those 2 pairs are going to be together by the sound of things.
Let me ask it a different way. Who's the biggest wild card among the defense group?
I'm going to say it's Kesselring.
Really?
Just because, yeah.
I think they already believe in him.
I believe in him, but it's still a wild card. Like, what type of game does he bring, and how does that affect Owen Power? Because we all think Owen, I think that the projection of Owen Power, every single one of you guys, I can read your minds. I can read everybody's mind right now. But the projection was Owen Power's the number 1 overall pick. So there's going to be a ton of offense and a ton of skating, and he's going to take over games by his puck playing ability, his playmaking, his control, and all of it. I haven't seen that, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen more of a tentative Owen Power that has not been able to get his footing right. Could it become what we've expected him to become? Yes. But what if Kesselring all of a sudden is a guy that takes more chance offensively, that has more of the puck, that is joining the rush? How does that affect Owen Power? Maybe now we're seeing him just become a steady, stay-at-home type of defenseman, and we're working more on this side of the game. So I think Kesselring is probably more the wild card. I had an inkling of saying Matthias Samuelsson.
Yes, because then thank you. All of a sudden, that was my bingo card.
That is a bingo card.
That's such a lie. I'm like, I don't play bingo. I have no interest in it. Whatever. So,
maybe we'll have to do that on the broadcast. I'm going to print bingo card, and you and I will have to stamp things that will happen in the game.
Like fans sitting in first row has drink spilled in lap after thunderous Samuelsson hit.
Yes, that will be one. Or fan sitting right below our set has a 2-foot-long nachos that I'm smelling and I become hungry.
Or fan in 300 level looks down upon us, sends a picture and says, are you sharing a pant leg?
Yeah, now that happens as well. But yeah, okay, so we'll play bingo. But okay, so I feel Kesselring with his impact on maybe Power in the top 4, but you say ding, ding, ding with the, you know, I got it, you know, with Samuelsson, but I felt like it was just an easy answer and I didn't really have anything to add, but what do you see?
Well, but in all fairness, I'm perhaps just absorbing what many people have observed and shared, you know, to us on social, whatever, that even after all this time as a pro, I think people, and probably the player himself, want to really prove what he can do for a full season in the NHL.
Yeah.
And what if we get 82 full games of the best version of Matthias Samuelsson? Like, I think at his best, the perception of the hockey department and his coaches has always been high belief of what he can be. Now, it doesn't feel like there's as much room in the moment when viewing the top four, but Lindy Ruff made a pretty heavy emphasis on all six. And yes, in that regard, that's why I think Samuelsson is still, I'm reluctant to say the word unknown, but I do think it's a bit of a wild card just based on like games played. And if you
didn't
get them,
you feel though, Duffer, that when Lindy Ruff said, I didn't have a great handle on the players at the start of the year, and I thought I knew about them and I was wrong. Like, and we know that last year was critical of Dylan Cousins and then he gets traded. Critical of Tage Thompson playing center. So if they can't play, I think that the first person I thought about when he said, I thought I knew about the players when I came in and I was wrong about a few of them. I feel like Matthias Samuelsson was one that was probably in the, I was wrong about him. I feel like Lindy has much higher expectations of what he saw out of Matthias Samuelsson. Mm-hmm. Well, at being able to match the expectation at some point, I think we're all hoping so. But I feel like when Lindy said that, my head started ringing Samuelsson when that bell was ringing.
Well, Jeff Skinner famously asked Matthias Samuelsson once, why do you have a goal song? Well, the Sabres have a goal song, and it's in concrete for the black and red games.
Yes.
We need your help. This is us soliciting your input for the goal song this year in the blue and gold games. So fans, just go to sabres.com/goal song. Tell us what you think would make the ultimate goal song inside KeyBank Center for the majority of the home games this year. Again, it's sabres.com/goal song to make your submission today. Thank you, as always, to Jeff Skinner for one of the wonderful player-to-player questions we've ever heard. We're back after
that
this.
That was awesome.
On Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I'd say that Alex has been told very clearly by myself and the organization how important he is to us. We want him here long term. The good news is that he's said the exact same thing about being here. He wants to be here. He's made it clear to me and to us. And, you know, we've had good productive conversations with the Bartletts this summer. That's his agency. And, you know, like these things take time. We're gonna work through it. But I think for me, in my experience over the years, the most important thing is you have alignment on those key principles of wanting to be here, believing in the organization. And now we'll keep working at it. So that's something that's a priority, though, for sure.
And we have some of our favorite people in the business, the Bartletts, on the line right now to discuss the ongoing negotiations. I'm kidding, but we would welcome the Bartletts anytime. They are...
Oh, they would do it no problem.
Yes, they are a tremendous family, tremendous place in this game, representing so many over the years and currently. And your takeaway on Tuck as the negotiations continue... amidst a changing landscape in the NHL. And if you missed it off the top, also part of that address from the GM today was that Alex is dealing with a little setback of his own right now and is in the kind of the day-to-day slash slightly longer than day-to-day realm here when they hit the ice tomorrow.
So what I'm thinking about Tuck is he's a huge part of this organization, not just the leadership, but the production, you know, could be a consistent 34, 35 goals a season, maybe even close to 40, 70 plus 80 points, a point a game. Like, that's what I see out of Alex Tuck. Kevin Adams said they're going to have meetings this week with the Bartletts and discuss it. It's interesting to me because I just put down the names of players, UFAs and RFAs, that are, you know, that could sign an extension, that were, you know, open to sign an extension after July 1 this year. Mm-hmm. And there's only five guys that have signed an extension. So I think what's going on is agents, I don't want to blame the agents, but I'm saying what they're saying is that the cap is going to go way up next year, mm-hmm. and that there's going to be a bigger piece of the pie to be had. There's not as much restriction, and saying, well, we only have, you know, $7.5 million of cap space. And, you know, so you can take seven, but we need to, there's more room. So they're trying to stretch it a little bit more and mm-hmm. trying to get more money. Kaprizov with Minnesota saying he wants 16 plus, right? That he would apparently have turned down 16 a year for 8 years. Like that's a lot. So there's not been a lot of extensions being signed this year. So a player like Tuck, I look at my list, McDavid, Panarin, Eichel, Bobrovsky, Kaprizov, Kyle Connor, Marty Natchez, Adrian Kempe, Kopitar, Schmaltz, Jason Robertson, Connor Bedard. Like there's a lot of guys that are due for an extension that haven't done it. So I think it will get done. I think it will get done, if not before the season, before the month of November. And I think that is going to be a great thing for the organization. But I'm not worried. I don't have a sense of I'm worried about it right now, Duffer. So I'm going to stay positive on it. But I think he's a huge part of the team moving forward.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Schmaltz, because that's the name of one of the albums of Spanish love songs who I saw in concert in Rochester last night. And a highlight track of that album is Buffalo, Buffalo, which they played last night as well. So I'm a very happy individual today because they're one of my favorite bands. Oh. I brought one of my favorite people with me in our beloved Jason Weiss.
Oh, Weissy went. So, yeah.
That was a nice night in the ROC.
So. He's recovered from his Sunday night at the Borderlands, so I'm glad that that worked out. But no, so I think of now, talk is day-to-day, should be fine. Jordan Greenway, that was a bit of an unexpected news today when Kevin Adams said that Greenway had to have surgery in mid-July, that he won't be ready for the start of camp, and they're going to see. We all know that Jordan Greenway.
Second surgery,
you're right. So yes. that's a great point. Like that's a second surgery. So look, Jordan Greenway is a big man. Jordan Greenway has dealt with a lot of injuries, and now you go from one surgery to another to try to, you know, keep you healthy. That maybe is where the unknown is coming in, which would, you know, Tyson Kosak, and where does the young players of Rochester may be fitting in and being given opportunity. Look, Jordan Greenway was not going to be a top six guy, but he was going to have an important role because Lindy Ruff has leaned on Greenway for big moments like penalty kill and some defensive responsibility, some physical responsibility. Mm-hmm. So if he's not there, there's an opening in that spot for somebody to fill in those minutes and those responsibilities. And I don't know. I'm very positive on Tuck and his contract. I'm hesitant to think that Greenway will be there game one of the season.
Right. And without him on the left side, I think you have to consider somebody playing their off wing, which is maybe it's as... I don't want to say irrelevant, but in quotations, much ado about nothing, kind of like lefty, righty, because that's always like situational. And so many people just like don't pay too much attention to it. Mm-hmm. And I think with forwards, I think we've always for years seen the versatility and comfort of some of the game's best scorers, let alone just, you know,
and they're off wing
players. So, yeah. I mean, I think we could easily see a Jack Quinn or Josh Doan, you know, find themselves on the left side. But I also think that even without Greenway's injury, I think the left side was already presenting us with an awful lot of questions based on, are they going to start the year with Zach Benson on the number one line? And of course, his name came up and there was a very honest answer with, you know, almost underlying metrics on what Benson did playing with top line players, but more specifically what he didn't accomplish, which is kind of finishing on those offensive chances. And again, totally understandable. Second year, 19 years old, whatever. But what are the better options? Like, if you don't start with Benson there, is Zucker a top line guy? Does Doan have an unbelievable camp and earn himself, you know, based on like what he's in a very, very, very small sample size, what his makeup is to be good on the defensive side. Okay. Well, it's always nice to have a defensive conscience with two of
playing
your top
against top lines
players.
Going to be at a team.
You know what I mean? And or based on the belief that we heard from Kevin Adams in Jack Quinn, does Quinn make that diagonal line across from like third line right wing to first line left wing?
Well, not only that, all of a sudden you could say Tage is a center, Yuri Kulik is a left wing, and
that
Quinn's
I got
right
no
wing.
Indication of.
No indication of, but you're going to try different trios, different pairings, different everything. So maybe if you don't like a righty on the left wing because you're like, hey, can't get the puck off the wall in the defensive zone, always has to be on their backhand to try to get it out. It's hard to make a second pass to get going and transition. Well, maybe you're going to have to move things around. Just like you could move Peyton Krebs to the left wing and put Tyson Kozak in the middle and keep Danfort on the right side or whatnot. Then you have lefty-righty and you're going better in that way. I think this Benson, the left side of the forward group, as you made it, as you specified, is going to be where we will see more movement. We will see players move it up and down in preseason, trying with different lines and different responsibility. I don't think Jason Zucker is a top line left winger, but if you don't have a better option and nothing is clicking up there, that may be your go-to for the start of the season, waiting to see what comes out with the rest of the guys and who will take that job away from him. So I'm not taking anything off the table here when it comes to who's going to play that left side 1-2-3-4. It could be anything right now.
Meaning names.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We haven't discussed yet.
Well, my first thought was, okay, who in Rochester?
Anton Wahlberg. But he's not replacing Zach Benson on the top line.
No, he's not.
You know what I mean? Like, if Wahlberg has the best camp of his life, I have a tough time today imagining that he could rocket that far up the depth chart to start the season.
But could you see, And I don't know that I would play this guy with Kulik and maybe Thompson, because I feel like that would be a lot of young. But could you see an Oslin playing the left side on the top line, or Roseanne being there? Like, depending on how Cam, I think those two have a better chance maybe than Wahlberg with a good Cam to say, hey, it fits better there. But what if you moved Zucker up and then Norris and Tuck with their experience and their maturity can take on a younger player to say, hey, come on our line as a left wing.
Right. See, when you have discussions like this, I then get more excited about the six preseason games.
Yeah.
But everybody likes to talk us down. Talk everyone down.
Your excitement level went from 1 to 3 on a scale of 10 or like from 5 to 8?
You're questioning my sincerity when it comes to my passion for games, period. Oh.
Let's just say it may, talking about it, it may have jumped from a 4 to a 7 for me.
Okay. 7 so on a scale of what?
That's good. On a scale of what? 1 through 100. but no, but I have a hard time. I love Zach Benson. I think that, like, from the first time he stepped on the ice at development camp after getting drafted, I saw a little pit bull in him, a little, you know, guy that will get under your skin, that will win one-on-one battles, that will get stronger. I don't see the finish. I don't think he's that shiny, you know, diamond in the window in the Swiss, you know, street. And you're like, man, that is shining. But I think he has some great value of a little bit more of a tough and rumble type of player that will come in. Just have a hard time seeing him on the top line.
Because of the Greenway injury, or like
no, just have a hard time seeing Benson being a guy that you will...
I know, but we saw him there at the end of last year, so like before we're having today's discussion, who were you thinking was going to be there?
I'm thinking,
like, the only reason I thought we were talking about it today is because of Greenway's injury. But
I think it may be by default that it is a Benson that's out there, but I just when this team is a playoff team and a contender, I feel like that is not Zach Benson, top line left winger team. Maybe it is second line left winger. Maybe it's a middle six left winger that produces 50 points a year. But a top line left winger, I'd like to say that's 75 points in the year. And I don't see 70 points.
Yeah.
I mean, after I see your I need a sound effect. I need to press a button when you're like, not sure.
I don't think you need that when you're going to get the expected production when fully healthy from Norris, who is fully healthy, and Thompson. Like, I'm perfectly okay with Norris being a 70-point guy, Thompson being an 80-point guy, and whoever's on the left being a 50-point guy. I really am.
As long as you don't give up 275 goals, because then you need 95 points and 85 points and 75 points for that line to overcome that.
There are many more current examples, but allow me to just throw out, you know, one that's far too old to even bring up. But just I get it. It was center as opposed to left wing. But just remember how well Steve Ruchin complimented Solani in Korea. You know, like, you don't have to have three superstars all 80 to 90 points. You don't.
I mean, we can go Pascal Dupuis and whatever, like playing top line with Sidney Crosby, but you're playing with Sidney Crosby. So it's like, you don't need 85, 75 points. You just need to know how to play with those guys. And until I see Benson doing it consistently, that he is in the right place and the line is rolling and they have puck possession and his role is more defined on that top line or top six, I'm still going to have a question mark.
Okay, we'll try to zip through some other NHL camp news when we come back. We do want to end this segment on Benson and Norris because you're probably full aware of the jersey swap, so you can enter today to win autographed jerseys from Benson, number 6, and Norris, number 9, in honor of this off-season switch. Visit sabres.com/enter for your chance to win. Back in a moment.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Based on time constraints, we might best direct you to NHL.com for the latest on the number of names that are either not fully healthy at the moment and or their expected return dates. Like a Matthew Tkachuk in Florida, could well be December when he starts his regular season. Nick Paul's injured until November for Tampa. Pasternak's a little dinged up to start, but should be okay for Boston.
Tendinitis.
Yeah, Blackburn. And yeah, we all have it. Blackburn and Sam Girard are... you know, sidelined right now for Colorado. That's a lot. And obviously...
I thought it was the best shape of their life season. Now we're getting injury season. That's what we're getting.
Buffalo news today was getting a little clarity on Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, but no time frame yet for his lower body injury. The belief is that it won't be a long-term thing. Alex Tuch is day-to-day, and Jordan Greenway likely to be... closer to the start of the season, hopefully, as far as his return. And obviously, we will monitor those significantly as we get into on-ice portion of training camp, which begins tomorrow. Preseason yes. begins on Monday. Birthdays, Marty. From big a Sabre standpoint. Oh, is this the big one? Scott Arneil, 63, the current head coach of the Winnipeg Jets. Happy birthday,
love,
Scott.
Love Arnie. He was an assistant coach with us before getting the job in Manitoba and then Columbus and then going with the Rangers and Washington. He was like, I mean, he's bounced around, but he's done a great job with Winnipeg. I love Scott Arneil, one of the great, great people in the sport.
And then three other significant names, all having birthdays today in the current NHL among players. You get to choose which one you want to send the most passionate greetings to on their birthday. Alex Ovechkin, Austin Matthews, or Michael Bunting?
I'm going to stick with the great eight, Alex Ovechkin, who there was a fantastic picture of him with his two kids and the balloons behind him, 40, I saw on Instagram. So yes, Alex Ovechkin is 40 years old. This is the last year of his contract. Is this the last year we see Alex Ovechkin in the National Hockey League? That's a big question, right? He's up for an extension, and maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't.
You were big on the extensions today. I was waiting for you to add that little note in
money?
On Ovechkin.
How much money for Ovi?
Okay, so in his age 40 year, does he score more than 40?
No.
See you tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.